Okay, everybody, thank you for coming along to the masses in the gallery there. Very much appreciated. So I'll start with the safety announcements. Evacuation details and information are located on the wall near the entry to the chambers. In an emergency, an alarm will sound. Wardens will assist you with your evacuation from the building. If directed, please evacuate in a calm and orderly manner via the reception area. Go directly to the evacuation point in the car park beside the town hall. Just confirming the recording's on?
Yes.
Thank you. So I now open the meeting at 3:01. Thank you all for your attendance. So I have an apology from Mayor Wayne Johnson. He is currently representing the Meander Valley in Canberra tonight with dinner with the Governor General, and he's been invited there to represent the Meander Valley on the post-flood recovery. So we thank our Mayor for doing that, and also from Councillor Mick Kelly, who's unfortunately unwell today. Okay. I begin today by acknowledging the Palitore and Panihera past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today. I pay my respects to Elders past and present, and extend my respects to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Go through to confirmation of the minutes. So is there someone that would like to move the minutes from the previous meeting? Oh, thank you, Councillor Dornoff. Is there a seconder?
Seconder.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there anybody that would like to speak against? No? All those in favour? Please say aye. Raise your hands. Thank you. Sorry. Is there any declarations of interest?
Through you, Deputy Mayor Neil.
Thank you. So we did have a councillor workshop report. Councillors met a scheduled workshop on the 23rd of May, as well as an additional workshop held earlier today, just with the intention to finalise the budget process for the new financial year. So I'll now move on to councillor reports. Is there anybody that would like to make a report over and above? Oh no, we're not, they're listed here. So councillor acknowledgements. Is anyone that would like to make a comment?
Ian, how do you send it first?
Did he? That's very polite of you, Anne-Marie.
Yeah.
Councillor Dubman.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I just wanted to take this opportunity to congratulate the organisers and volunteers that put together Winterfire last weekend. Winterfire is a great local event that's run by Art Stella Rain and obviously supported by this council. And it really brings the community together in what is genuinely a pretty cold and mystical time. So it was good to see so many people in our community out and about. So I just wanted to pass on my congratulations to Louise Middleton and the volunteers like Faith, Sean, John, the Lions Club and the Rotary Club, and everyone else who participated. I joined Councillor Loder on the gates and we had a great time. And it was great to see some local produce being sold, some local music being enjoyed, and obviously the big bonfire at the end with the effigy that I felt looked a bit like Councillor Dornoff, but I may have been projecting with that. So congratulations to the team at Winterfire. I'm looking forward to Winterfire 24.
Thank you, Councillor Dornoff. I'm glad you're still here, Councillor Dornoff.
Councillor Loder? Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'd like to acknowledge two recent events. One was the Great Western Tears Tourism Association's networking event, which was held at the Meander Valley Vineyard. It was a really fantastic location that really showcased how wonderful our Meander Valley tourist businesses are. It was a great opportunity to meet other tourism operators. Sarah Clark, CEO of Tourism Tasmania, was there. And also Tracy Mallett, CEO of Visit Northern Tasmania, was in attendance, as was Councillor Dudman, and it was a great night. The other one I would like to acknowledge is the 50th anniversary of the Westbury Rotary Club that was held a couple of weekends ago. Over 100 Rotarians and guests joined together for a celebration of 50 years, and it was really fantastic to see what this club has done locally, but also way beyond the borders of Australia in Fiji, for example. So congratulations to Westbury Rotary Club on their 50th anniversary.
Thank you. Any other councillor announcements? Thank you. Petitions?
Neil.
Community representation?
Neil.
So move on to public question time. It's all yours, Craig.
Oh, how did you know?
So if you could just state your name, where you're from, and you'll have 3 minutes. And because I'm going to be good at timekeeping today, I will ding you at 2 minutes, just in case.
I don't ask long questions. Could Council please provide us with an update on discussions regarding amalgamations with neighbouring councils?
Thanks, Craig. Do you want to talk about what you've So I'm just going to ask the General Manager to explain some of the formalities of what we've been through at the moment, if that's okay. Thank you.
Well, I guess through you, Deputy Mayor, three elements. One is for councillors and elected representatives, one is for community, and one is for obviously staff impacted. At a regional level, the general managers are considering their position on things and exploring the option, both in terms of cost and most importantly timeframes around the 2nd of August of a community survey. That survey would look at questions around general awareness in the community about the reforms, and secondly, questions that really focus in on what's a successful council look like in terms of community value. That's still up in the air. The review board have recently released surveys online for elected representatives, community and staff, and that provides another opportunity. The councillors need to finalise their deliberations and initial thoughts on what the reform agendas mean for Yandra Valley, and that remains to be seen. So there's some discussion ahead of further consultation and a submission in a formal sense by the 2nd of August, and presentation of that submission to the board.
Thanks, General Manager. And I'll just add that we did have three councillors go to Bothwell to one of the planning. You know, they had a whiteboard out and did some planning with some other councils in the area, so a proper workshop on it. And we haven't met yet to discuss their findings, but Councillor Loader, Councillor Sinfield and Councillor Temple met, so we're very lucky to have had them travel down to that. Councillor Sinfield?
If I may, I'm an indulgence add to that. Yes, so we had a couple of hours down there at Bothwell last week, but I was also asked, so that could be a question without notice, but to let all the councillors know and the mayor that PMAT, the Planning Matters Alliance, is holding a public meeting in Deloraine. It's my understanding that all councillors will get a personal invite to attend that meeting at 6 o'clock, I think it is, on the 20th of June. And there's also, for example, just for interest sake, a meeting, public meeting tomorrow night at Bothwell over the amalgamation issue, because up there they're quite stirred up about what's been proposed and what the outcome for them might be. So I think there's a fair bit happening in the space, and it will probably accelerate.
Thanks, Councillor Sinfield. The other councillors that were present, did you at the planning at Bothwell, do you have anything you wanted to add at all? We're yet to discuss this, that's all, but I just thought it'd be the opportunity if you.
I'm about to ask a question without
that's
notice.
Okay. I'll let Anne-Marie put a question without notice, so we'll leave it with that. No further questions?
Follow-up question was, will Council be communicating and engaging with the community regarding its preferred decision or making a submission, and what's the time frame and process of doing that?
Well, I can say absolutely we'll be consulting with the community, but yes, thank you.
Through you, Deputy Mayor, as indicated, at general manager level, we're considering the mechanisms to best achieve that. Some of that will be face-to-face and online and by phone surveying through public relations firms to get a quantitative and valid sample across the municipality rather than just people that are showing up. So we should have an answer in terms of the viability of that in the next day or so. And the main viability issue is that it probably is going to take about 6 weeks for a public relations firm to achieve those statistically relevant levels of feedback from the community. So that's one option. To the Deputy Mayor's statement, it's anticipated at least three community consultation processes, one to the east, one in Middle Earth, so to speak, in terms of Westbury Deloraine, and one perhaps out at out west around that sort of Mole Creek sort of area. The timing of that and the nature of that really depends on, I guess, the discussion that the councillors have yet to have. But once we have a settled position, we need to implement, obviously, quickly in terms of an ability to write up and submit findings on the second. We will also, in terms of staffing, have an all-staff meeting the week after next that will kick off the consultation internally with staff, obviously a major stakeholder group affected by any proposed change as well.
Yeah, I'd just like to add, thanks for that, GM. It's, you know, time's of the essence with this and we do need to act very quickly, but we as councillors have a lot to consider, and one is our community and our ratepayers, but also our staff that do an amazing job behind the scenes. So we are doing our best to make sure that we talk to all stakeholders in this, but it is something that we're trying to move very quickly on, but I'm not sure if I'm able to give the exact dates at the moment, Craig, but can assure you that we are moving as fast as we can. No questions from Joe? I might move to council question time, and Anne-Marie said that you had a question, so would you like to go first?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Actually, Craig has basically just asked my question. I think that the review of local government is the biggest thing that the whole of the state is facing, and I'm disappointed that we as yet haven't come out with a position, but Craig's question about when will we come out with something, that was basically my question, to make sure it was on the record that we're all talking about it, because attending the Bothwell meeting with potentially our new Brady Bunch council family. Like Councillor Sinfield said, we had to drive 2 hours, and that wasn't even at the end of that one of the scenarios that they're proposing, the boundaries. And nobody there, I believe, was in support of any of those scenarios. There was more a discussion about shared services. So that was my question. When are we going to come out with a statement? We owe it to our community. We are community leaders to our municipality. And 6 weeks is a long time to come up with a survey. 6 weeks pretty much brings us to the deadline. So I want to know, when can the community expect it? But you've already answered that question.
Thanks,
but I do have a second question.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So last week the Review of Local Government published a new survey. I'm hearing more and more that the community has survey fatigue, mm-hmm. and there is scepticism that the feedback given is taken into account. So for the sake of the record, I've been asked this week, what happened with the results of the Meander Valley Council's community satisfaction survey from last year?
Thanks, Councillor Loder. I hate always asking you to answer it, but you've got to give a specific answer to
Deputy Mayor. It wasn't as such a community satisfaction survey, but a general survey around issues that might be relevant to consider and consult with the community in the context of the community strategic plan. So it wasn't a survey of council service standards, or certainly wasn't a discussion around the local government reform agenda. So it was always designed as a limited response to inform the community strategic plan consultation. So that has been factored into the planning for the CSP.
Thank you. I understand people get survey fatigue, a bit like they get election fatigue, but I can only stress to the members of the public that how important it is. I know it can be frustrating at times, but that data is not lost. It does go into feeding into some important things like the community strategic plan. So I do appreciate people put a lot of effort into it, so they do want to know what happens to it. So thank you for that question.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions, Councillor Dorn?
Through you, Acting Mayor. Just on that, we have listened to the community in the form of the return and collation of data from the surveys, and I think, without stepping out of line, going on the past of the 44-page documents with hundreds of questions requesting information from the community, that makes it quite hard to provide a really decent snapshot and response from the community. So I think we've listen to them in the past, and future consultation will involve numerous different media, written responses, the GM's just mentioned, phone call surveys as well. So hopefully that will be a positive result in the response from the community in relation to that data.
Thanks, Councillor Don. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. My usual question about the proposed prison. Have there been any developments since the last meeting?
Not to me. Anything to you, General
Manager? Through you, Deputy Mayor. No.
My second question is that is Council aware that as of late last week, Parks listed on their website that Liffey Falls is again open?
No, I wasn't aware.
Maybe if I could clarify that the top car park and the walk down and then up again is open, the bottom not open.
Yes, yeah, so I've had a look today just from a conversation that we've had, but it does say the Liffey Falls lower walking track will remain closed until further notice. So that it doesn't say that it just says it's 2 kilometres from the top car park is open, suitable for most children.
Yes, thank you. And just following on from that, is Council aware that there are many small and larger tourist attractions that in part rely on visitors to Liffey Fall for their trade, and the Liffey Falls in the last, I think it's 9 months, has had a severe economic impact on many small businesses in the municipality?
Yes, I think, just let me know which council meeting it was you asked us to write to the minister, is that correct?
Yeah.
About some information?
Yes, I think that was back in many months ago that I think the Dino was going to make that inquiry.
So now that it is appears to be reopened, it would be an opportunity for us to promote that within the community, you think?
Yes, that was going to be my next question. It was will council do its utmost to promote the fact that it is again open? This is, as soon as that reaches far and wide, it will mean more people spending time as tourists in our municipality.
Yep.
So can we do that on our website and social media,
supporting it,
any other vehicles we may have? Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Temple. Any further questions? We'll move on. So we won't be acting as a planning authority today, as there are no planning items. So we'll move straight on to Development and Regulatory Services, submission to Council to public exhibition of draft Tasmanian planning policies. Thanks, Joe. So Joe Oliver is here as a consultant to discuss this. I just thought, Joe, it might be easier if you just gave us a little overview of where you've reached with this, and we can take questions from that.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
So to summarise, getting to this point, council has made a form of submission to the earlier consultation phase undertaken by the State Planning Office in regards to the formation of the Tasmanian planning policies. That was a consultation that was required under the legislation with local government planning authorities and the Tasmanian Planning Commission. So Meander Valley Council made a submission to that process and also participated in a northern regional submission with the other seven councils of the northern region. There's generally a good consensus amongst the councils of the northern region in regards to the Tasmanian planning policies, and the submission that you've got before you today reflects a lot of the conversations that are happening across the northern region as well. So the submission before you is to the formal public notification phase of the Tasmanian planning policies that have been approved by the Minister, who requested the Tasmanian Planning Commission to commence the statutory notification period. So it's now embarked on a very formal and quite tight statutory process in terms of the state government's intent to bring in statutory Tasmanian planning policies as part of the planning system. So the Tasmanian planning policies apply to a number of instruments under the planning system. It's not just to what you would be the most familiar with, which is the Tasmanian planning scheme under which your local provision schedule operates, but it's also the regional land use strategies and also applies to major projects. So the process now that's undertaken is that a panel convened by the Tasmanian Planning Commission will consider representations made by any party to this process. The legislation confines the matters that the TPC can actually consider. So they can consider technical matters in regard to the structure and application of the TPPs, and they can consider representations on the merits, essentially the content and the nature of the policies themselves. They won't be able to consider any formative process that's gone before, and that's why the actual notification doesn't include any of the supporting documentation, the background documentation prepared by the State Planning Office, who are actually the authors of the policies themselves. They sit on two separate components, I suppose, of the planning of the state sort of framework. It makes it a little bit difficult to make submissions on the formal draft of the Tasmanian planning policies being notified because, as I pointed out in the submission that I've drafted for you to consider today, there is virtually no background information or evidence provided as to where the policies have come from or what they're trying to achieve. There are generalities described in the background documentation. There is high-level planning theory described in the context section of the policies themselves, but there's no hard and fast evidence that is trying to convey the message of what the state is actually trying to achieve on the ground in terms of practical outcome. So we're flying a little bit blind, but the submission that I've drafted for you today to consider confines its nature, I suppose, and its content to those two aspects that the TPC consider under the legislation. I have made reference to sort of a broad reference to the supporting documentation prepared by the State Planning Office and highlight the point that it's necessary, even though we're not commenting on that material, because it's the only documentation that gives you the slightest clue as to what they're trying to achieve. So it's impossible to have a conversation about the merits of the policies without understanding what it is they're trying to achieve, even though that's quite thin. So the submission that I've prepared, for those of you that know me will know it's a bit prickly in regards to taking on, I suppose, the procedural nature and the legalistic nature of the structure of the TPPs, particularly the general application section, because the statutory application of the TPPs has very far-reaching consequences, right down to the council table where you will be considering planning scheme amendments in the future, because they will all be required to comply with the TPPs. Further to that, council will also need to be actively involved in the review of the regional land use strategy, as 1/8 of the northern region at the moment, constituent councils that are expected to have a primary role in the formation of that document and the policy that sits within that document. So amongst the 8 councils of the northern region, we're all scratching our heads a bit, because it's really hard to get a line of sight on what any of that is supposed to do and what the expectations are coming from these documents from the Tasmanian planning policies. So they're a statutory mechanism, and they have tight legislative parameters around how they are to be applied as it applies to planning scheme amendments. But the thing that really alarms me in terms of the technical structure is that when you think about the fact that TPPs contain individually 239 strategies. So think about the legislation that then says when you consider a planning scheme amendment, you are required, even after the regional land use strategy is reviewed, you are required to consider each direction contained in the TPPs as to the manner of application. How on earth do you make sense out of that with 239 individual strategies that are statutory? So our big beef is that a lot more work needs to be done on them to rein that issue in, provide appropriate and clear direction as to practical implementation, what's to be brought into effect through the regional land use strategies, what is to be brought into effect through individual consideration for each planning scheme amendment. Clearly 239 strategies is not tenable for individual amendments. They are highly prescriptive, highly prescriptive. So when you think about each of those strategies, what they contain, being applied or being considered to be applied to every single matter that comes before you in terms of amendments, it's also untenable. There is discussion in the material that talks about exercising judgment and there being some latitude about applying strategies where relevant. It's just simply not true. Section 34.2 of the Act says each individual direction must be applied to every single amendment that comes before you. Any subordinate document cannot override that instruction. So the instruction must clearly relate to the direction that is in the legislation, and that line of sight must be crystal clear, and it currently isn't. In terms of the content of the policies, a lot of it's good stuff that we already do, is already embedded in the objectives of the legislation, is already embedded in the strategies, in the regional land use strategies. But the structure of the legislation is such that you can apply judgment and practical sensibility about how that flows through. That does not exist with the structure of the TPPs. So that means that it has to fall back on a really clear process and really clear description, and it's just not there. Is it fixable? Yes, it is. The Tasmanian Planning Commission have the purview to recommend significant changes to the Minister in terms of rectifying these issues. In terms of the Tasmanian Planning Commission undertaking to do that, that's going to be dependent upon the nature of the information that's submitted before them. That's why it's important to take a bit of a hard line, in my view, and really get stuck in to the procedural implications. Almost every council planner that I've spoken to understand the procedural implications at the council table, and they're all going hard on it. We're all firmly of the view that the drafters in the state government office, whilst they're all very nice people, they don't have the level of understanding that we do about those practical implications at the council table. So the submissions are going to be drafted along those lines. The submission I've put before Meander Valley Council is certainly drafted along those lines. There's some pointed questions about some of the implications, particularly in regard to settlement, that is going to have a really significant impact on smaller rural communities and even middle-sized rural communities throughout the state, which make up about 80% of Tasmania's settlements. So there's questions that we've put in this submission about, well, what is the state government's position on directing growth to higher order settlements in the hierarchy? Why not middle to lower order settlements? There are conflicting and contradictory positions. Talks about directing growth to where there's employment. Well, employment has gone through in the rural sectors over the last census period. Where do they need to be located? They need to be located in rural centres where they have access to those broader primary industry employment opportunities. It really is a very urbanist-focused set of policies, and it doesn't capture the nuances of what makes up, you know, the broader Tasmanian way of life, its economy, its productivity. It needs to be smarter than that. And so the nature of this submission is sort of focused on the big-hitting issues rather than focusing on the minutiae, the really small stuff, other than to say that it's targeted at too low a level, needs to be at a much higher level and appropriately reflect the state interest, which can then be, you know, subjectively analysed with each individual circumstance that presents, because no two are ever going to look the same. So one set of highly prescriptive rules just doesn't work. As we found with the Tasmanian planning scheme, you know, it's got snags. So sorry, that's not a short synopsis. It never is with me. So it is really complicated. It's just doing our heads in terms of all of the planners. You know, we're talking about it a lot amongst the northern region, and across the state. But yes, my advice to you would be go hard. And let's see if we can get the TPC on board to get it fixed.
Thanks, Jo, and thank you for putting so much effort into that. So I'll just call for a mover of that motion. Thanks, Councillor Dudman. Councillor Sinfield? As a mover of the motion, Councillor Dudman, do you have any questions for Jo or comments to make?
No questions. I think that was very thorough, so thank you for your work on this. I don't think I'm going to, you know, sit here as a politician and start a lecture on what is going on here when you've got the expertise and the understanding. So just thank you for your work. I think the important thing to note, in your dissertation you said that there's practical implications here that aren't being picked up by the state, but they're affecting us at a council level, and I think that's an ever-growing issue that we're facing in local government, and something that should be reflected on is that divide between the local level and the state level seems to be getting further apart, and there needs to be a strong understanding of what's happening here on the ground with us rather than just sitting in Hobart and, you know, listing off bureaucratic notions. So thank you for that.
Thanks, Councillor Duncan. Councillor Sinfield.
Probably not, but I'll have some questions and a comment at the end.
Is there anybody else that has any questions for Jo at all? Otherwise, I'm happy to go back to you, Councillor Simpson.
Makes for interesting reading. It. Starts out dry, in my opinion, but gets into some meaty stuff partway through. Thank you for that. Urban-centric. I wrote that down after you said it because that, in my view, is what's happening with amalgamation, but that's another subject. But it all goes to who's got their hands on the tiller and who ought to get them off. My first question is in around pages 4 and 5. Are you sort of advocating that as part of the approach to be taken in this is that if a TPP's whatever they might be, invoked or carried out or carried through in regional land use strategies, for example, that ought to be the end of them. In other words, when you get to actually operating the scheme itself, the statewide scheme, which will be nicely go back to an interim scheme, in the future, that you don't have to revisit the TPPs? Are you arguing that in any way?
That is my suggestion, and that is a way that you can eliminate a lot of confusion and a lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen with amendments when it gets to the TPC particular. There are other jurisdictions in other states also use this mechanism to good effect, particularly the Queensland system. And in fact, the Queensland system actually, their state planning policy mandates that where those subordinate documents, like they have regional plans as well as planning scheme, it actually has statements in those documents that recognises exactly which parts are the carriage of the state policy and that it exhausts that policy by complying with that. There are aspects that can be readily achieved that way.
So as a follow-up, part of the problem we have, of course, is that we're conducting reviews into regional land use strategies that effectively weren't taken into account when we made up the statewide scheme in the first place. We made the scheme and now we're trying to make the regional land use strategies fit the scheme back to front. How would you, in the interim, if we just bring in TPPs now and in the foreseeable future, the scheme presumably hasn't, you've got to review it again, the strategies, to make them fit that. And then the next layer is to make the planning scheme fit that, unless, as I say, you just sort of acknowledge that what the reality is, that they brought in a scheme and all by itself, absent of those other steps having occurred. So it'd be a long time getting to have everything fitting in its correct order of sequence, because we're retrofitting what we're doing.
Sure.
Answer.
Yeah,
go
for
it. Yes, it will be a long time. And as I point out in part of the submission, it would appear that the expectations of what they think is going to be able to be mapped out in the strategies, I believe, is untenable. It's just infeasible to perfectly know where all of the infrastructure capacity is and is going to be. Good luck getting a straight answer out of Tazewell. So how long is it going to go on while we can't answer those questions? What happens to amendments in the interim? Does everything come to a grinding halt while we figure that out? You know, you're not going to figure that out inside of a decade. Not only that, you've got to then map it out in the actual regional strategies. There are so many aspects to this that they just have not thought through in practical terms. They just kick it off to, you know, the regional land use strategy review and the state planning provisions review without thinking about those precise matters. You have to think about those precise matters now because of the construct of the legislation. They've got to be able to answer those questions. We've put those questions to them before and they didn't answer them. And now we're going to be taking those questions to them, to the TPC, at the TPC table. So there's no escaping it. Yes, there are significant implications because of that. Some things could potentially be reconciled readily for the RLUS, not everything that they're suggesting. One of the conflicts, of course, with this expectation of apportionment and allocation of growth, and you're going to draw those nice lines in your maps, in your regional land use strategy. You're going to know what all of your infrastructure is going to be. You're going to know what all of your population is going to be. You're going to know where your schools are going to be. You're going to know where your hospitals are going to be. You're going to know how many people they can cater for. You know, this perfect utopian world that they seem to be describing is not going to exist. We all need some answers about what's going to happen in the interim. And what do we do with the bits that can't be made to fit? So that's where the legislation, where it says, until the regional land use strategy is reviewed, each of those 239 strategies applies individually to everything in your member. Even after the regional land use strategies and the state planning provisions are reviewed, there's still a test of application for the manner, the directions as to the manner of application. So it all filters back up to having a clear practical understanding as how it all comes back down. So, yeah.
Councillor Hassidos, did you have a question before I go back to Ben as the mover? No, I didn't. Ben, did you...
Just a procedural motion to move the vote, if that's possible.
Please. Yeah, sorry. Get on with it.
You won't die if I do what we're on.
I won't do, I know, but yes, no, we need to step into.
All right, well, I think we all agree that we appreciate Joe's work and passion on this, but I'll put it to the vote. So all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands.
Aye.
That's unanimous for that this evening. Thank you, everyone, and thank you, Joe, for your time.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Good on, Joe. Thank you.
It looks like Jo is choosing to stay because she loves me so much. thank you. Okay, Darren, we've got some difficult questions for you today. So, proposed name changes. Is there somebody that would like to move that motion?
I'm happy to move.
Councillor House, is there anybody to second that? Councillor Dornoff. Thanks, Joe. Councillor House is the mover of the motion. Do you have any comments?
Oh, no, just looking at those various names that have been proposed there, I'm not necessarily excited about some of those names, but I would think that they're appropriate to each location. I'm happy to move that they be accepted for those locations.
Councillor Dornoff.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. I, on the other hand, am thrilled by them. I think they all have relevance to their location. I certainly won't stand in the way if there is a relevance factor there. So I'm in favour.
Thank you. I'll just open up to the floor. Is there any other comments or questions for Jared? No? Okay. Mover or second, have anything else to add or we can put it to the vote?
No, Deputy Mayor. Thank
so,
you.
All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. Aye, that's unanimous again. So, thank you. Thank you. No tough questions for you today, Jared. Yeah.
Keep it going that way. Second last day. Leave me
alone. Yeah, I know. Very sad about that. So, infrastructure services, highway information signage bays at Deloraine. Is there a mover for this motion? Councillor Sinfield? A seconder? Councillor Dornoff? Councillor Sinfield, as the mover of the motion, do you have any comments?
Yeah, well, having been on council for a long, long time, this has come before us a number of times, I continue to support the view that whilst there is merit in the sign, certainly the one on the eastern side, at the eastern approach to Deloraine, that in my view they should be being maintained by the Department of State Growth and not by council. They're out on Crown Land, National Parks land, and part of the state highway network. We have all these other moribund, in my view, signs appearing all over the place, you know, Heartland journeys and stuff that are, in my view, meaningless, costing us fortune. They ought to be rightly and properly maintaining these in good condition and not having allowed them to get to the state they're in now. So that's my view on them.
Thank you. Councillor Dornoff, what's the second of the motion?
I believe Councillor Dudman is going to discuss this in further depth, so I'll leave him.
Is there anybody else that would like to make a comment on the motion that's before us? Oh, Councillor Dudman.
What a surprise. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I do not support the recommendation before us, and I don't. And on that basis, I will be moving an alternate motion, and I'll foreshadow that now. And the alternate is that we, one, accept the request from the State Department of State Growth to accept ownership of the two existing visitor information signs bay structures located on the east and western approaches to Deloraine on the Bass Highway, and two, authorise the expenditure of $39,000 comprised of remedial work of $25,000 and maintenance costs for 4 years from 2023-24 of $14,000. I do so on the basis of a few reasons. I disagree with the assessment that these information bays don't get used. I think they are frequently used and sufficiently used to warrant us to take ownership and continue the work that is occurring there and the display. I fear that if we do reject the request of the State Growth, that they would just remove it altogether, and that would be a great loss for the Deloraine community, especially for local business. And in communicating with local businesses in the area, especially those through the Great Western Tiers Tourism Association, they want the signs retained and they want to use that space, and they understand the value of those information base for their businesses. So I won't sit here and dictate what business people in Deloraine need, because I'm not a business person in Deloraine, but I've spoken to them and I understand that that is what they feel is important for their business. So I'm more than happy to foreshadow that alternate motion, and I hope that my fellow councillors will support me in not accepting this recommendation and supporting businesses in Deloraine. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Dunman. Councillor Lovages, what would you like to say?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Dudman. I totally agree with you. I will not be supporting the motion as it stands. As the Meander Valley Rep on the Great Western Tiers Tourism Association, these signs have been spoken about at length, and I, as Councillor Dudman said, that particular organisation would like to see them retained. I believe... you stole most of my point. One thing I think needs to be said is that we should retain them because we need to future-proof this area should we become swamped into or absorbed into a mega council. I can't see if we had reps from all the way down south as far as Derwent Valley thinking that signs in Deloraine were important. I think we're going to, if that happens, and I hope it doesn't, but I think... we just need to make sure those signs are retained for our businesses. There was talk about adding some QR codes to them, so they perhaps do need a little bit of work. But, yes, above all, we need to retain them to future-proof what might happen in the future. And what else did I have there? Anything else? I've repeated myself. That's good, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks. Absolutely. Any other comments?
Councillor
Temple?
Are we certain that if we don't take ownership of these that State Growth will remove them?
Are we certain?
Mm-hmm.
It's my belief that they've asked a number of times, and this is, and they've got to the point now where they require work, so they won't be doing the work, so they should be removing them.
Who paid for their... they were done new skins on them about 8 years ago. Who paid for those? Do we recall?
Yes, it was the Business Association that used to be in Deloraine. I can't remember the name.
I'll have to confirm. I couldn't tell you exactly.
I had a conversation in the pub on Sunday night.
Council Lotus suggests that maybe the Business Association contributed, but I'll have to confirm.
That doesn't exist anymore.
So I'm not talking to the motion that's before us, but for the... alternate motion come forward.
Well, I'll put this to the vote. If Councillor Sinfield and Councillor Dornoff don't have anything further to add, I'm happy to put this to the vote.
Which one are we putting to the vote? Sorry.
There's motion. Which
the
motion?
Senior,
in the papers.
The one that's on the screen.
Foreshadowed.
Yep. Okay. That's him. This is the one that's on the script. Oh. Yeah, okay, right, yeah, sorry. That's the one that's in our book too. Sorry, I was just checking that wasn't Ben's.
So, Ben's for Shadow.
Yeah, that's okay. Yep. Thank you. So, all those in favour of the motion that is in front of you on your agendas and on the screen, please raise your hands and say aye. So, Councillor...
Aye.
Pardon?
Aye.
Aye, yes, thank you, Councillor Simfield. I thought you said something, John.
Aye.
All those against, please raise your hands and say nay.
Aye.
Motion is lost. Would you like to read your foreshadow motion back out?
Yes, I move that the council accepts the request from the Department of State Growth to accept ownership of the two existing visitor information signage bays and structures located on state government land on the eastern and western approaches to Deloraine on the Bass Highway, and two, authorise this expenditure $39,000 comprised of remedial work of $25,000 and maintenance cost of 4 years from 2023 to 2024 of $40,000.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that motion, Councillor? Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add on that over and above what we discussed?
Yes.
Okay, Councillor Temple?
My question is, as the Deloraine business community contributed substantially to its redesign probably a decade ago, would they be interested in contributing this time?
That group doesn't exist
anymore. I don't believe that organisation exists anymore. But I think that this council would be very keen to consult the community in any forward plans that happens there, so that may be able to be part of the consultation process. Any other questions?
Well, I'd just like to reiterate what I'd said before, that Westbury did lose its two information bays under similar circumstances. That was 12 years ago. The information bays are still there, and the Steins need reinstating. So if Deloraine could have it, I would hope that Westbury and Hagley could have it also.
Yes, and I think that'll be part of that. We do need to finish reviewing our sign strategy around our municipality. So, as I said to you before, that would be something we could consider then, I think. Gerald, did you have any comments on signs in general? I know putting them on other people's roads can be complicated. I really want you to say that, actually.
I did want to just point out, which you sort of into that, our alternate motion at the end of the agenda was to, additionally to those 2 points, provide approval for the general manager to negotiate and enter into lease agreements with the state for the structures to remain on government land. So that could possibly be an additional to the alternate motion.
Okay, point two provides approval for general manager to negotiate and enter lease. Okay, yep. Would the mover and the seconder of that alternate
be
inclined
to be included? Please,
point
two. Point three.
Thanks. Chris, did you need that? That's a point three. Thanks,
Greg.
I think I keep thinking you're raising your hand, Kevin, but I'm not sure. Councillors, did you have any comments on this matter?
Oh,
that's fine. And then to into. Councillor Lodo or Councillor Dubman, did you have any further comments you wanted to make? Once we get this on the screen, then we can put it to the vote.
One moment, please.
Okay.
Doing a good job, Krista.
Lean down here.
She had
electricity work.
She has long nail impairments.
Yeah. I don't know how you type with these arms here.
Don't you touch that.
We just had difficulties with getting the motion on the screen, so just bear with us.
Everybody that chooses to listen to
I'm assuming that would be peppercorn lace. I'm assuming that would be a peppercorn lace.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't. Basically, to formalise occupation of a preserve.
Well done. Okay. I don't know this now. So it's on the screen now. So all those in favour of the motion.
Mike, I've got a further question for my acting Deputy Mayor. If the General Manager is going to the enter into negotiations with the State Government, wouldn't it be pertinent to do it for the Hagley and Westbury Bays at the same time?
I'll just say the General Manager answer that. My personal view is we'll deal with this as it's in front of us, and as I said, we could talk about that when we go further. But General Manager, do you have something you'd like to say?
Through you, Deputy Mayor, I'd suggest that we need to take specific advice on those two locations and deal with this matter separately.
Any further comments? I want to put it to the vote now. So all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands.
Aye.
It's everyone except Councillor Sinfield. That's easy. Sorry to save me reading them out. And those against? Councillor Sinfield. Thank you. So, infrastructure services, review of 2022-2023 capital works program budget. I might give you an opportunity, Joe. Did you want to make a comment on this before we move forward?
All right, can you?
Who you want to?
Really, Deputy Mayor. Yeah, just for the new councillors, I suppose, at the end of each financial year, we try to even wedge between our capital works projects that we have completed or ones that may need additional money going forward. Makes John Homey's life a little bit easier, doesn't it, John? So that's what we're effectively trying to do here, is just getting out the overs and unders of capital works projects, and there are a couple at the end that are recommended for removal from the program. The subdivision contribution, Lansdowne Place, the subdivision's unlikely to continue just due to the sale of the land and who the land's gone to on the larger lots, so it's unlikely to be further subdivided at this stage. Traffic calming design for Prospect Vale, that'll be pushed over into an operational expenditure. Regina and Caveside Halls, I believe there's going to be a whole look at all our halls, and we couldn't, I believe, do them for the budget that we had, so it's going to be another whole look at those two, and then the divest of property. I might have to pass to John a little bit of help with what's happening with that one, so we don't know.
That's okay. We can wait. If there's any specific questions, John, we can come to you. Thanks, Jared. So is there a mover for that motion? A seconder? Councillor House. As a mover of the motion, Councillor Dudman.
I just want to thank Jared for his work, and obviously Dino in his absence. It is good to note the overall decrease in the value of the program to the benefit of the community.
Thank you. Councillor House?
Through you, Deputy Mayor. So I had a couple of queries about this, but I spoke to the author of this report, Dino, this morning. He very happily explained some of those adjustments, as you have, Jared. So I really appreciate the work that you put into this. And, yeah, very happy to second it.
Thank you. Is there any other comments, Councillor Donald?
In what way will we inform the public of the variations to a couple of these projects, specifically the ones that will not receive funding?
Yes. Oh. Do you mean is someone going to be disappointed that there was funding for something like the hall and then now it's not?
Yeah, through you acting, acting there. Yeah, absolutely. There'll be people invested within these projects, no doubt, that all of a sudden they'll be removed from the capital works program. And I think it's important that we provide a succinct message as to why they've been removed at the time.
Through you, Deputy. I think where it's appropriate for when and we've been dealing with an individual stakeholder group, I will reach out to those people and advise them and reset expectations. I think that there'll be a published sort of record in the minutes of this meeting as well.
Thank you.
And I think it's also important to note that not many of them are actually being removed, you know, never to be seen again. A lot of them will be reworked into other budgets. So a lot of this work that we see in front of us is how we work it out in council. But at the end of the day, a lot of these things will still be getting their work that they need just out of a different pool of money, probably. Is there any other questions, comments? Was that you, John? No?
Yeah, I would actually just like to reiterate what you said earlier, Deputy Mayor, that this is not driving a knife through projects, as some would falsely suggest, but instead it's about ensuring that we're balancing our budgets, being fiscally responsible, and I would absolutely work with any local community group that wants to talk about the ways that we could improve funding towards them. So I'm absolutely commending this and I look forward to working with Councillor Dornoff on these issues in the future as well.
Thank you. I'm just going to embarrass Jared for a minute too and say thank you very much, second last day. We will miss you and we appreciate your hard work. And I'm sorry that nobody's had enough hard questions for you over the years. So
there's still some to come.
Yeah, I know, but this is the last public time we'll be able to put you on the spot. So thank you for all your work and all the best. So with that, I will put that to the vote. So all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. It's unanimous again. Motion passed. Thank you, everybody. Risk management policy and risk appetite statement review. General Manager, did you have some comments to make on this and we can go forward, or are you happy to move from over in a second or two?
Happy.
Yep, okay. So would anyone like to move that motion? Councillor Loader, a seconder? Councillor Gardner, you've taken my place. Thank you very much. Councillor Loader, any comments?
Not at this.
Councillor Dudman? General Manager, no comments? No, happy? Everybody happy if I put this to the vote now? Are you going to make a comment? I think you do want to make a comment.
I just, through you, Deputy Mayor, I would just like to note that on page 74 there's a statement there about the risk that the Tasmanian local government reform is potentially going to have on us. And particularly, I would like to acknowledge that this reform must be pretty tough for our workforce to be dealing with right now. I've been through several restructures myself, and it really does make you feel quite uneasy and unsure of the future. So I'm really pleased to see that that's been included in the document.
Thank you, Councillor Loder. Any other comments, or I am happy to put this into the vote.
Do you want to get the general manager to read it into the record or anything like that?
Read the whole document?
No.
No, I'm taking it as read.
Okay.
He's very keen to make a comment, so. No, happy to take it as read. Thank you very much, everyone. So all those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. Anyone against that hasn't just decided that they're going to make it against? No, it's carried. Thank you very much, everybody.
Interesting reading, actually.
Okay, so a motion to close the meeting and move into close. Thank you, Councillor Loder. Someone to second that?
I believe.
Councillor House, all those in favour? Councillor House. Everyone's in favour? No one's against? Right. Meeting closed at 4:06. Thank you.